Welcome to Rights Watch, a program about human rights around the world from Human Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham. New York State finally passed its same-sex marriage bill after months of political wrangling. Today, reporter Amy Costello looks at what legal hurdles gay couples still may face in many states in the U.S. and around the world. Here's Amy.
Boris Dietrich is advocacy director for Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Rights Program at Human Rights Watch. Dietrich was a member of the Dutch National Parliament, where he initiated same-sex marriage and adoption bills, making the Netherlands the first country in the world to open civil marriage to gays and lesbians. And Tom Plummer is an attorney with Immigration Equality, a national organization that fights for equality under the U.S. immigration law for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and HIV-positive individuals. Boris and Tom, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Boris Dietrich, let's start with New York.
New York is a big state, many people, so that's going to be a very important step forward to marriage equality nationwide.
Mm. And Tom, would this bill do anything to help American gays who have a foreign partner?
Yes, it would. Immigration law is federal law. When New Yorkers are able to marry in the state of New York, they're still going to face hurdles in seeking immigration relief for their foreign-born partners. However, I think as more and more states are recognizing marriage between gay and lesbians, it's placing additional pressure on the federal government to fall in line and to sort of respect those relationships and recognize those families.
So even if there was a couple, a same-sex couple, one of them's American, one of them is not, and they can get married legally in a state, that does not mean that the non-American spouse can immigrate to this country.
It means that the U.S. citizen can't sponsor the foreign-born spouse for a visa. Many binational couples find other ways to be together, but they're temporary and don't really allow them the full panoply of rights that straight couples enjoy.
Mm. I'm wondering, when we hear the argument against allowing same-sex couples to either marry or to sponsor their same-sex partner, what are the recurring arguments that they hear opposing this?
Well, mostly you see religious arguments against same-sex marriage. People always mix up civil marriage with a wedding in a church, which is a more religious ceremony. In the Netherlands, we strictly separate the two. So when you talk about same-sex marriage, we talk about civil marriage and not a church wedding. It's up to churches to decide whether they want to marry people in their church or not.
And of course, we're talking in many cases couples that have been in relationships for many, many years, sometimes decades.
No, definitely. We're one example. We're working with a couple, Bradford and Anthony, in San Francisco. And they were married in the state of Massachusetts the moment that they could. They've been together for almost 19 years, always in the U.S. in a lawful status, jumping through incredible hurdles to be together. And so they're a loving couple. They are married in the United States of America. And we believe their family should be recognized like any other.
I can also give an example of my own experience. I'm together with my partner 30 years. And we've been married in the Netherlands 5 years ago. So 30 years together. And when I emigrated to the U.S., I had to fill in forms that I was single. And the officer said in the Amsterdam consulate, he said, well, that's because the U.S. doesn't recognize your marriage. And it feels so offensive. You know, you're together your whole life, actually, with somebody. And then you have to just say that you're single. So I hope that the law will change.
And Boris, when you think about that situation for yourself, should I consider that a purely legal issue, or should I consider that a human rights issue?
Well, that's always difficult to answer, but I would say it's a human rights issue because it affects your life. And I think that actually the U.S. government didn't really realize what impact this would have because they are singling out people because of their sexual orientation. And this is pure discrimination and it needs to end. In Europe, governments see this issue as completely different. As we speak, the Council of Europe, which consists of 47 member states, including Russia and Turkey and Serbia and those kind of countries, they come up with a wonderful document about the recognition of same-sex relationships. And it's so much further ahead than the U.S. in its policies. So the U.S. could really learn from Europe.
And to discriminate on someone based on sexual orientation, that would be a violation of UN principles.
Oh, definitely. For instance, you have the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, which is a UN treaty, and the Human Rights Committee has over and over again stated that states are not allowed to discriminate based on sexual orientation or gender identity.
And Tom Plummer, even though you're involved mostly working with binational couples, is that issue that you're working on more important than gay marriage?
I think that they're equally important. Many times the foreign-born partner in a binational couple may be from a country where it isn't safe to return. Asylees, if they're granted asylum under U.S. immigration law, could sponsor a dependent if their relationship with their partner were recognized by U.S. law. So even those who are fleeing countries where they have been or reasonably fear future persecution can be put in an awful predicament of not being able to bring their loved one with them. So these issues all do overlap.
Boris Dietrich, I know, you know, you've been active globally in advocating for gay rights for many years. And I know that you worked in Uganda and you met with a Ugandan minister. And can you tell me what happened?
Yeah. The LGBT community had never even spoken with a politician because politicians do not want to speak with gay men, lesbian women, or transgendered persons. So they asked me to try to get a meeting. So I was able to get a meeting with the minister and talked with him about Uganda's obligation to adhere to international human rights treaties, which they have signed and agreed upon. And so all of a sudden he looked at me and said, "So you are actually talking about gays, about homosexuals?" I said, "Yes, because we are talking about human rights, and human rights are universal, so also for the LGBT community." And then he took the document I presented to him. It's called the Yogyakarta Principles. And he threw it away in the room. He said, "That's what we do with human rights. And we don't want to talk about homosexuals because that's a Western concept." This homophobic approach is actually fed by several American ministers who go to countries like Uganda and who teach that in the U.S. the homosexuals took over, and that's why it's a moral issue to, you know, be firm against homosexuals. And unfortunately, people in a country like Uganda are inspired by those teachings. And one of the people who was inspired was a former colleague of mine in terms of politicians, and he presented the anti-homosexuality bill with a provision of the death penalty for homosexual men and lesbian women.
I'd like to add that binational couples here in the United States are also, I think, very vulnerable to legislation that is based on homophobia, but also anti-immigrant backlash. And we've seen recent state legislation in places including Arizona and Utah. And so immigration equality is really fighting on all fronts to foster family unity and support the civil rights groups in the state of Utah who are fighting that law.
Tom Plummer is an attorney with Immigration Equality. Boris Dietrich is the Advocacy Director for Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Rights Program at Human Rights Watch. Thank you both for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
My pleasure.
That's Rights Watch for this week. Human Rights Watch is an independent organization dedicated to defending and protecting human rights around the world. For more about Human Rights Watch, including audio, video, and multimedia features, please visit hrw.org. And we want to hear your feedback. You can get in touch at podcast@hrw.org. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Amy Costello.